Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, September 30th, 2018. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart? You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 311, about a band that I know nothing about, and that's a blind spot for me. But I do know that there was a band called 311. So, you know, whatever, knowing is half the battle, right? And I guess the war is knowing about their discography, right? All right. So there's no guest today. It's just me in my apartment at my table. And I, you know, there's NBA TV on mute. Carlos Boozer has this weird pirate beard that makes him look like his beard's fake. And I have reason to believe that that beard could low key be fake because of that Beijing job that he did to his hair that time when he knew he was going bald instead of just letting it go bald. I'm getting there too, but I can still grow hair. I'm at the weird, we're at the top, kind of at the top. It's thinning out a little bit. But I don't know. Nobody's perfect, you know? Whatever. I still like, I don't know if I'm going to, I might let my hair grow out a little bit more. And I want to grow my beard back. I shot a thing and they made me cut my goatee off. They always want to cut black dudes' beards off. And I know I really liked the way that my beard was growing, but what do you know? What are you gonna do? Hashtag black actors. You know, sometimes you gotta shave to get that bag, you know? And it's nothing wrong with that. But shout out to Carlos Boozer. I don't know that you can trust a black guy with no facial hair. You can halfway trust him if he has his goatee off. Is that how it works? If he doesn't have a goatee, if he has a full beard, does that mean he's super trustworthy? Or if Carlos Boozer, if he has this full pirate beard, is he overcompensating? Is he untrustworthy? He's like, I'm an untrustworthy guy, so I'm going to grow this beard out to its fullest potential. So then you'll have to believe me because I have this really thick pirate beard. I don't know. All right, let's just move on. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. All right, so this week, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Tiger Woods won a tournament again. That was great. All the white people following him like he was a rock star. That was nice to see white people chasing after Tiger. There were some black people that were conflicted. I was not conflicted. I don't think he's a bad dude. I think Tiger, you know, had some... Nobody likes to get their personal life in the streets like that. I don't care if you're an athlete or if you're a famous person or if you're not. It's just that's just the way it works. Your life gets put out there in the streets when you're a famous person. I'm glad he won, and I hope that he wins. I still want him to break those records. But I'm glad to see him win. And then, you know, I interviewed him after the tournament, after he won, and he was, you know, almost broke down, but he was fighting back tears, saying that he didn't know. Cause there were times where I was listening to, Bomani Jones interview this golf reporter who covers the PGA, Michael Collins, who was saying that, like, he just didn't know. Like, there were times where Tiger couldn't get out of bed. He had to, like, it was just brutal the way his back was just killing him. And I remember 20 plus years ago when he won the Masters, it would have been like 21 years ago in 97, just how amazing it was. And regardless of whether he says he's, you know, I don't know, man, people just try to hold shit against you for forever. Like the Coblin Asian thing, or he doesn't claim us. There was this clip on, from Big Boy from Outkast, his Instagram. I think, was it a tournament in Oregon or something? I don't know, but Big Boy's son is a great football player, and he's looking at colleges. And was in Oregon, and Tiger Woods was there. I don't know if it was this. I don't know. Tiger Woods was there, and he was talking to Tiger for his Instagram or something, and they dapped each other. Like, they did this black handshake, and Tiger was not fazed. Tiger was with it. He came. He wasn't awkward at all with it. And he was like, all right, man, I see you, Pete, you know. And that's, you know, that's real. Like, I know Tiger know he black. You know what I'm saying? But some people won't ever forget that. And some people say, oh, he played golf with Trump. I mean, you know, we can't all be perfect. But I was glad that regardless of all of that, I was happy to see him win. And I remember over 21 years ago, I was 17 in high school and junior year of high school, and seeing this black dude do this dude with brown skin, win like that, the way that he won so dominantly. He won, beat everybody so bad, they changed the course because they didn't want him to ever win again, but he did win. And it's pretty remarkable to see him win like that and overcoming, that's a part of his narrative now, you know, overcoming that adversity to win again and in dramatic fashion. So that was good. I was glad to see it back because he inspired me to make my parents buy me some golf clubs that I don't use anymore. But I was going pretty hard at it when around that time. I was on the practice squad on the golf team, and I remember we used to practice at Marlboro Country Club after school, and I was a theater guy. So, but the coach said, you know, Chris, if we'd have had you when you were a sophomore, you'd be pretty good. But I just never stuck with it. And it was kind of like a turning point where I had to decide when I was like, I think like 18 or 19, to either be in the play in college or be on the golf team. And I chose the theater. And now you have me doing this podcast and doing bit parts on TV shows, which is pretty cool. Yeah, so I always like to see him win, and especially like my parents they love Tiger Woods, they love Venus and Serena. So to see somebody like that dominate in those sports, is just awesome to see. And yeah, it was great. And that's the only time people really give a shit about golf or tennis, is when Tiger and Venus and Serena are playing. And that's just how it's been for the past 20 years or so. So it was great to see that. And if you love sports, you love a comeback story. You love to see that type of shit happen. What else? Cosby's in jail. They got him for 3 to 10. You see a lot of the people, he serves him right. And, you know, he did the crime. You got to do the time. And it was really for just one person that he assaulted. So he's kind of getting off easy. It's just sad to see. I feel sad on all fronts. The women who were violated. And Jemele Hill said it best. I think one of the best comments on social media about it that I saw was from Jemele Hill, and I'm paraphrasing, but she said something along the lines of, sad to see the idea of Cosby being like tarnished. Ugh, see, I don't want to fuck this up, but basically she said, sad for the idea of what he meant to so many people to make me believe in myself, to want to go to college and be educated and blah, blah, blah. But she said, but my mother was a rape victim and I survived a sexual, someone made the attempt. She survived an attempted rape. She was not raped. She stopped someone from raping her. So, and I'm trying to think, did she talk about that on a podcast years ago? But she had that, and coming from a woman, coming from a black woman, I was like, okay, yep, it's pretty much. And we're supposed to, you know, in the era of believing women. Now, I don't know how far I want to go with that. I want to say, yes, you should believe women. Here I go getting in hot water on the mundane festival. The problematic things that Chris said on episode 311 of the Mundane Festival podcast. We all know that people aren't perfect, men and women, and people do things. But as far as this Cosby thing goes, if there's like 60 plus people saying something, it's a problem. And that the guy's in jail. And what's interesting is the people that are saying all this, the quote unquote ashy stuff. Like I saw somebody say, oh, Michael Jackson was trying to buy Sony. Prince was trying to buy Warner Brothers. And Bill Cosby was trying to buy NBC. And I guess it just never stops. Yeah, it's just fucked up, and he's got to serve. Just fucking respect everybody. Don't rape. Be nice. Hey everybody, be nice and don't rape. Right? How about that? Just be nice to each other. Comedy. I did a show last night at this place called Joker's Comedy Club in Chester, New York. And it was connected. It was near by a bowling alley. And Chester, New York is about an hour and change from the city. Near West Point, near the Woodbury Commons Mall. I didn't get to go to the Woodbury Commons Mall. I just haven't been. The last outlet mall I went to was the one in PG County. Went with my mom and got her some sneakers and stuff. But I'm trying to think. They do have a Fossil watch outlet that I probably would be. I'm in the market for a new watch. I'm in the market for one. I may splurge and get one. I want like a little. I've seen where they have like. I just want a nice another new like digital watch. And I want to get the one my mom bought me, a Swiss Army watch that the battery died out. She got that like almost 20 years ago. It's a good watch. I like the face, and I don't really want to. I just want to fix the battery or something. I just take it to a jewelry. Anyway, I should just that my mental internal monologue is just all right. Sorry, guys. All right. Did the show. I was opening for a magician, and the crowd was just not that great. They were not great at all. Like, there were people that liked me, but it was just like, it was just work. I was like, ooh, I really gotta get through this time. And then like a quarter of the way into my set, the lights came off and the lights turned, they turned off. And I was like, did you guys pay your bill? They were doing a fundraiser before the show, and they didn't know that I was on the show. So I had to drop $5 from my had to spend $5 in order to perform. And they would have fixed me some food that I, but I just left and I just went home because it was about an hour drive. I'm just going to go home after my set. It's fine. So I just didn't feel, I was just like, ugh. It's just one of those nights where it's like, yeah, I got paid, but it was just like, that was a rough one. That was a rough one. Music. So yesterday, I guess there was a big announcement for hip hop nerds. Little Brother reunited yesterday at the what festival was this? In Durham North, the AOC Fest. They reunited Fonte, Big Pooh, and Ninth Wonder. That was pretty fucking cool. Cause yesterday Fonte tweeted an Instagram pic, and he was like, he just says AOC Fest performing live at 8 p.m. and it's a picture of Fonte, Ninth Wonder, and Big Pooh in front of the Durham Bulls baseball athletic park, their baseball field. And even Questlove, I'm looking at his comment, and he's like, wait in all caps, wait, what, you know? And that's pretty fucking cool. Like, Little Brother, one of the best hip hop group this side of the new millennium. I don't care what you say or who you think might be the best. Arguably one of the best ever. But just to be on the safe side, just to not have any arguments, best hip hop group this side of the new millennium, because it came out in like 2002, 2003, and just music that I told you last week or so, I was vibing out to the Minstrel Show. Just like I recently had just been going back, rocking out to the Minstrel Show and classic. And they're great, and I'm glad that they're. More importantly, I'm glad that they're friends again. I think that they are, you know. I really believe. I see where they like each other's posts and shit, so I think they're buddies again. So that's a good thing. And I think, especially just knowing, being friendly with Fonte, knowing a little bit about him, he's a music nerd. If you ever listen to Questlove Supreme, he's a fucking savant. Because if somebody like Questlove, who's the host of the show, and he's a big audiophile, if he could say, whoa, how'd you know that? When in reference to Fonte saying something, and he's just like, I don't know, I just know it. And so that means he's aware of the history of a lot of these artists, a lot of musicians, and a lot of bands that get together and they break up. And, you know, especially them being, you know, like sort of reminiscent to a certain degree of A Tribe Called Quest, where, like, you know how that Beats, Rhymes, and Life documentary was when they're fighting and all that shit. And I'm glad that maybe there's a Twitter incident a few years back, but like there was one actually. But I like the fact that these guys are friends again, because that means a lot to people. And someone posted, I think it's just the Durham, North Carolina Twitter account. Yeah, it's a Durham, North Carolina Twitter account. They tweeted, Durham's little brother performed on stage for the first time in over a decade. I think in the thread it says almost a decade or whatever, but it says they found out about the possibility to reunite just a few hours before the show, and it was flame emoji, hashtag AOC Fest. So I retweeted it and put an emoji with like a stream of tears, like I think it was like the Noshon Moreno tears when he was crying before the anthem, and tears were just like streaming. That's what it reminds me of. And I just put two hearts there, because that's like pretty fucking cool, man. I'm happy that that happened, and that's awesome. So that made me feel good. I have my. Let's see what else. I had an audition on Friday. That was pretty cool for a movie. That was awesome. It was just one line, and it was a big time casting director. It's cool when you like you know that you're. I feel like I'm just not like an old nigga. I'm about to blow up, but I feel like I'm somebody that like. I hope that I'm eventually going to be just like somebody that's a working actor. I don't have to be famous. I don't care. At this point, at 38 years old, I could give a shit about being famous. I would like to just pay my bills on time, get some of the things that I like, fix shit when it breaks, throw my parents some money, and, you know, just keep building and keep evolving as an artist. That's basically it. And then, shit, if I'm not famous, I can still go to Target. I can still go to Outback. I don't even go to Outback that much, but I could just still go and be with the people and just, you know, have more material to draw from as a comic and all that bullshit, all that shit that you dream of. Where the fuck was I going with this? It's nice when casting directors see you for different projects, like, cause that means that they're see you multiple times and see you for different projects. Cause that means that they like you and they want to place you somewhere. And that's really cool, especially in a city that's tough, like a city like New York, where there's so much talent and you're competing with the best of the best. And it's great. I just have a friend. One of my close friends who's an actor who's doing his thing too and just starting to get shit popping. So it's really great. So I'm hoping that it continues. So I go to this audition and I'm thinking like, I was like, all right, so it's Friday after work and I know it's going to be a shit ton of traffic. I get there on time. I was like, oh, it's just going to be a half an hour. So I park in a garage. And I was like, it's just going to be a half hour. It's just one line. And then the guy that was running the audition was running late. And this is a big time casting director. And it's just one line in a movie that I think it's probably going to make. I think it's going to do well. And as I'm waiting, there's a bunch of kids that come in because they're reading for another part. Obviously, these little black girls. And their moms and stuff. And I wanted to get up so they could sit down, but they didn't want to sit down. I was trying to be a gentleman. I was trying. And they didn't want to sit down. And then there's a delivery and somebody's delivering this like huge plant. And they find out it's from Chadwick Boseman, who's giving a gift to the casting director. Anyway, it's a big ass plant that Chadwick Boseman and his people sent to them. That was pretty neat. Whatever. Do what you will with that story. And I go in and I go to my audition. It's just one line. And there's a weird word that's like, I don't know how to pronounce it. And I asked for the pronunciation. They give it to me. I did it. I was like, oh, do you blah, 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 blah. And I messed up. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that again. And she says, sure. She said, sure. And I did it again. And she said, perfect. So that means I'm not getting that part because the casting director said that I did a perfect job. So I hustle back to my car and the parking garage. And it's $45. $45 to park. See, this is what I'm telling you guys about the business. This is what people don't see and they don't get understand it. So when you book some of these roles or some of these roles that pay like a lot of a really good money, it's just like, yeah, that's payback for busting my ass to get to an audition and paying $50 to park somewhere in the city. They just gouge you. But I did see, I think the next time that I go to that casting office, I will try to find street parking. I'm just so obsessed with not being late that I'm just like, okay, fuck it. I'm just going to park here. But thankfully, this was, I had the money to pay for it. I was just like, whatever, charge it to the game. And, but it was just, I was still kind of blown, because then I had to drive. So I was in the West Village, and I had to drive to Queens, and that was like 40 minutes because of the UN traffic, and it was brutal. I had to drive to Queens for like a costume fitting for a thing that I'm going to shoot that I'll tell you about once it's in the can, yeah, so that was pretty brutal. And the UN stuff, all this stuff, you know, where our president had the whole world laughing at him. You know, that was just whatever. You guys saw it. All that gridlock, the gridlock alert and all that. So that was pretty brutal. And I got there later than expected, but the wardrobe people were super nice. They were sweethearts, and that was cool. Then drove another hour in traffic, and then finally made it home. It was just a long day, you know. But that's the life, man. That's the life. So yesterday, I treated myself. I had treated myself to some sneakers, and shout out to the homie Michael Felder from the Stadium Network. You can watch his show. It's Emerge. And what's the other show that he's on? I'm going to get this because I tape it here. Hold on. Is that copyrighted? He's on a show called Emerge on the Stadium Network, and as well as Campus Insiders. And Emerge is about profiles of the nation's elite high school athletes and the country's top programs. Campus Insiders is inside reports on, he's on that sometimes, but Emerge is his show. And it comes on at 2:00 on the Stadium Network. Stadium Network is, look it up in your cable listings. I'm not going to do all the fucking work for you, but check out Felder on the Stadium Network. A couple weeks ago, maybe last month, just a few weeks ago, he had tweeted about the Nike Air Max Flyknits, and I looked at it. I was like, oh yeah, these joints look dope. Like, I really like these. And he was just raving about them. And because Felder is a sneakerhead. He's like, if you go to his Instagram is mainly about his about him just stunting on everybody as a chef. And so that's really cool. But he likes sneakers. And every now and then, I think a couple times, like, we text back and forth about sneakers and stuff. Like, there's a few people in my life, in my circle, that I follow a lot of sneaker accounts on Instagram. If something catches my eye, I'll be like, I'll ask a guy like Felder. I remember asking Felder about the Kyries, like the first iteration of those Kyries, and he gave me his thoughts. And like a guy like Damian Lemon, Ali Muhammad from in the conversation also, he knows about sneakers, but I haven't really talked to him about that much. But the homie D Lemon, Damian Lemon, I'll say, what do you think of these? He's like, not my style, but you know, I could, you know, whatever. But we'll have dialogue about these, about shoes and stuff, and I'll ask him what he thinks, and I'll ask him. I mainly ask Damian about, like, what about like, oh, is this too expensive? If, you know, if I got this off eBay or what, you know, I try not to get like gouged or anything, but I don't really buy sneakers that much. I think I'm mainly a New Balance guy. And part of that, I don't know if that's a cultural thing being from DC, but I just realized that because when you're in something, you don't really think about it that much if that's a part of the culture. But going back home, I was, oh, yeah, these guys, a lot of black dudes, they wear New Balance. And when they were saying, like, oh, these are the white man shoes, the shoes of the alt-right, I was like, what? I've been wearing these since I was like 19, 20 years old. And you see more black people wearing those shoes, and they're fucking comfortable. Overall, they're really comfortable. And I bought a pair maybe sometime this past summer where these New Balance 247, it's just like, they're just like having a fucking sock on in the house, and like you're just chilling. It's so comfortable. And I really dug those, and I want to get another colorway. That's sneaker talk for another color. You know what I'm saying, guys? That's so basic. But no, these New Balance 247s, they look great, and they feel so great. They feel really good. So I want to get another pair of those, just to not, like, I just don't want to like just wear the same fucking shoe every day. And I think I was a middle class kid coming up, but I remember when I was in school, you would only get like I went to Catholic school, and you'd have a dress pair, a dress shoes, and you have sneakers. So it would be like two to three pair of shoes, because maybe you'd have boots for the winter time. But like I had like a couple pair of shoes, and it was an event to go to Foot Locker and get shoes. Like when you get sneakers, dog, like sneakers, like that was a fucking event. And the smell of the store, the smell of putting new shoes on. There should be a air freshener for new shoe smell. I just remember that, like going in with my mom or dad, just getting a pair of shoes, like just like picking the kind that you liked, and that was just fucking great. Like, so I haven't really done that or really thought about it that much in adulthood, to where maybe when I was in my 20s in theater school, I used to have like Johnson and Murphy casual shoes. I like those, like Bucks, dress shoes, you know, I would wear to work and stuff like that. I was trying to think in my 20s, what did I? Yeah, I didn't really care about them that much, because I was always working. Like Chicago, like the Midwest, would just be like working, like wearing sneakers to work. New Balance would come, like I worked at Best Buy, so we stand up all the time and be working, be taking it, walking to the trains and buses. I was never really stunting on Bamas like that. I was never really stunting on people like that. I never did stunt with sneakers. Even like there, I had one pair of Jordans, and they were the, I can, now that I'm talking about it, I remember a shout out to Nori Davis, who had showed me when he was on the show, Jordan sneaker chart. I can tell you what I had. What are these? These are the, trying to find, well, anyway, I had Nikes and stuff, but I never really, like, I only had one pair. I had like some Jordan brand sneakers before. I'm trying to find these. I think I did find, I was trying to get you the number. It was 1989. Let me see. Because all these images are... all these images are like small and you can't... The Air Jordan 4s. That's what I had. The black ones. And they called them like the breads. Like the black and the red. So I had a pair of those. Those are the only pair that I had. And I think they would probably be my favorites. Maybe that's because it's the only kind that I had. But I would say that's probably my favorite Jordans. But and then, yeah, like there'd be certain, like I never really cared for the flashy types. Like the pennies looked really good. I never had a pair of those, but I always appreciated those, the pennies. There's one in particular that let me see. Air penny sneakers. I think it's just the first one, the ones where it's like black and black and white, and they had showed the air bubble, and then they had the swoosh with the Nike Air Penny. I like those a lot. I would buy a pair of those. I think it's the very first. I think it's the very first one. I don't know. I wish I knew the names. I'm not a sneakerhead like that. But you know what I'm talking about. Nike Air Max pennies. It's still like $130. Anyway, I really like those. And yeah, so like just like getting sneakers every now and then. Oh, it's like, oh, these pair, like I had some Cortezes, some Nike Cortezes. I like the very like relatively plain looking shoe. And there would just be shoes that I would like. And then you just kind of forget about them, or you just like, oh, these look really good. And you try to see them. There was a pair of Air Maxes that I was really into for a while. And so fast forward to Saturday. Or really wind back mainly just like New Balance, like solid shoes that, you know, nobody ever made fun of me to my face. So I think I was doing okay. I think I had decent shoes, but I'm just not a sneakerhead type of guy. And so I'd see these shoes and stuff. And then like recently, Kobe Bryant had a new release of these Nike ADs. And Nike Kobe ADs, and it's just like the gray colorway or whatever. And I was like, these look good. Like they look cool. They look good. They're not too flashy. They're just kind of like cool looking shoes. And I would just happen to be like, I tweeted this on Friday night. Like, you know, you're washed when you just watch YouTube videos of unboxings and of sneakers or anything. And it was just like, I was just like kind of like watching them. And I was like, I do like these shoes. And I remember screenshotting these and showing them to Damien. And he was like, not really my style, but, you know, all right. And I was like, okay. And then so, but I liked them. And I kind of carried the flame for them. And I would see on eBay where like being ignorant and not knowing, would just like, okay, so these shoes they're selling these for like $250. Well, I'll just wait. I probably won't get these ever. And I watched this unboxing and this guy was talking, was like, oh, I like these. I like how they feel. You know, these are good. And so I go to the store. I go to the mall, and first I had a coupon for Destination XL, and I got myself some underwear and a shirt. I was like, let me just go to the mall. Let me go to Foot Locker, because I know Foot Locker says that they have the Flyknits. So I looked them up, and I was like, all right, if they have them, I'm gonna try them on to see how they feel, and I'm copping. So I went to Foot Locker at the mall, and I hadn't been to the mall in a long time. Normally when I go to the mall, it's just to go to the movies or to go to Shake Shack, and that's pretty much it. I don't really hang out in the mall. But I noticed that like almost all the young black dudes dress like 90s R&B singers when you go to the mall. That's what like a lot of the black dudes look like. Like they just think Jermaine Dupri is going to give them a record deal just for seeing them in shades and whatever, in tight clothes. I don't know. Anyway, that's a sidebar. So I go to the mall and I go to Foot Locker. And they have this thing called House of Hoops. And I've seen the commercials, but I didn't know. You know, they're affiliated with Foot Locker. And I was like, oh, cool. And they have all the basketball shoes. And I go in there and they have the Kobes. And they're like, I was like, oh, they actually have them. So I clocked it. I picked them up. And I was like, okay. So you know they probably have these. And I wear a 13. And if they don't have the Flyknits, I'll just get these. So I go and I look and I see the Flyknits and they didn't. And I asked the guys, like, oh, do you have these in the Oreo color? And he went, I said, we might have them. And he brought me back these different colors. I was like, nah, those aren't the ones that I want. And I was like, okay, so you guys don't have them. And then I said, well, you know what? I want those Kobe. I want to try those Kobes on. And he takes me over to back over to the House of Hoops, because House of Hoops is right next, is adjacent to Foot Locker. And there's just really just a little wall, a knocked out wall in between the two. And you just walk through and you're in the House of Hoops. So I was like, OK, I want to try these Kobes on because I've been liking them. I've been like checking for them for a long time on the Internet. And I said, I want to try them out. I want to try them on. It's a really nice young lady who's like, she to me looked like a basketball player. Looked like she played, but she said, no, I don't play ball. I just, you know if I kind of got like a boyish swag. I was like, no, I'm not trying to say that you, I'm not trying to me too you. Or she was attractive, but she was just like, she was like unassumingly attractive. I don't know what her orientation was, but she was an attractive woman. And she was just saying how like, she's saying, yeah, what do you think these are? A mid? She's like, oh, do people buy these? She's like, oh, yeah, they kind of, you know, whatever. And I was like, I just want to try them. And she brings them out to me and I try them on. And I'm like, holy shit, these are comfortable. Like, I don't think I'd had Nikes in a long time that were that comfortable. I bought some Nike, like, they were kind of like Cortez's, but they were something else. And they looked great because they were just like they were like low key. What do I want to say? Like they kind of were like Cortez's, but they weren't. I don't know exactly what they were, but I liked them. And I bought a pair of them from eBay, and I bought them from like some other. I bought like another color from another store online, and I was just like. I was like those are, and I remember having these shoes, and I was opening for Damien at the time last year at Caroline's. I was like, I'm gonna wear these shoes. I'm gonna wear like black shirt, wear these black shoes, got the gold little splash on them. I'm going to stunt on a Friday night show. I'm gonna do my thing. And these black sneakers, these cool Nikes that not that many people have or know about. And I'm walking in these. I parked my car like maybe it's probably like a 5 to 10 minute walk, not even that long, maybe a 5 minute walk to the club in Midtown Manhattan. And I park and I'm walking. I'm like, these aren't that comfortable. And it kind of made me think about like how women wear shoes that they know look good, but they're killing their feet. But I look good, though. And I think it made me think like that's kind of what women go through. And I was like, these shoes look great, but they fucking hurt. And it's just those shoes are just not to wear when you have to walk for a long distance or even not even that long. So I was like, OK, these are cool. But and then. Like I got those 247s and I barely wear those Nikes that I bought. But I put these Kobes on oh my God, they felt so good. It's like putting on a, there's another shoe that felt like putting on a sock, and it just felt so like it was just like a, I guess it's a mid-level shoe that kind of covers the ankle a little bit, but it just felt so comfortable. And I was like, I'm wearing these tonight. And those are the shoes that I kind of bombed in some Kobe's last night. Like, you see all his achievements. You put it like, I think there's all like what it signifies. The Kobe AD design meanings and shit or something like that. I want to see what it, because like I think they had a thing where he had like, you can decoding Kobe AD codes, deciphering the Kobe code, Black Mamba. I wanted to see if they had something where like something signifies like his number, his birthday, like when he scored 80 points or something like that. And then I just like had a mediocre as fuck set last night. And yeah, it's like a champion, a hall of one of the best basketball players to ever play the game. And I had a mediocre set wearing his sneakers. I thought that was funny. But they felt so, but I felt good. My feet felt good while I was doing that set. And just so comfortable. I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, I'm getting these. And then, so I was like, okay, I'm getting these. And I said, you know what? Let me just try these Flyknits on just to see how they feel. And if I find them somewhere else, or no, this is what I said to, because then another guy came over. And it's funny because like that store, it's two stores basically, but they had the walkie talkies and stuff. Like it was kind of like an Old Navy, like where there was one person, but I guess that's how everybody communicates now. Like back in, I don't go to the malls that much, but they had the walkie talkie system. I was like, is the store that big for somebody just, and somebody brought the shoes out, and it was early. It was relatively early on a Saturday. I don't think it was even, maybe a little after 11 o'clock. And, they brought out, there was this one guy, three people actually helped me. So I just told the young lady helping me, I was like, you know, I'm getting these Kobe's, but can I just try on the Flyknits? And if I like them, I'll order them from you guys. And she said, sure. I was like, just, can you give me a 13? And one guy came up and he was like, what were you trying to get? He's like, I want to get the Oreo colorway for the Flyknits. But the other guy said, you didn't have them. And he said, let me just check something, because they said we have them in the back. I was like, well, hey, bring them out. You know, I'll get them if they fit, if they feel good. And so he brings them out. He brings like two pair out, and I try them on. And I was like, yeah, these are legit. These feel great. And then I pulled the shoe off, and it looked like somebody had worn them. Like somebody wore these fuckers out and then brought them back. And I was like, look, man, it looked like somebody wore these, and there's like a scuff on them. I was like, I don't, can you give me another pair? And he gave me another pair, and I bought them. But yeah, so that was me treating myself, buying some sneakers. I can see how that's, you can easily get caught up into that, but I don't know how. That's if I was rich or if I was balling, I would definitely get a lot of sneakers probably. But I don't, since I'm not balling, I can't do that. But I just wonder, like it breaks down the facade of online, the weird, I guess, do you call those people hype beasts? You guys are going to laugh at me. Because I don't know all the lingo. Let me see if it's like a, if there's a, is that meaning, hype beast meaning? At least I have a thirst for knowledge, guys. Don't make fun of me. Cal- Alex shoes. Okay. Welcome to Miami sneaker culture. A sneaker head is a shoe enthusiast that not only collects shoes, but is very knowledgeable about the history of the sneaker and its meaning. A hype beast is something of an insult, referring to a person who only buys shoes that are popular and cool. I don't think I'm a hype beast. I just like shoes that I think that look good. I don't care about them being popular. So I would just, that look good to me, and I think I can pull off. You know, I don't really go crazy like that. But I do like sneakers though. Where's it going with that? Yeah, just on the internet, like they overpriced these shoes. Like the Kobe's were $140, and I see where they're selling them for like $250 and $300. Like, what is that? Like, I don't get that. Write in and explain this to me, because I'm not sure. I don't know, man. It's weird, because it makes you think you'll never fucking get those shoes. I'm like, I'm not paying $300 for those shoes. I'll pay like $150 or $140 or something like that. And then like those Flyknits were only $100. They sell them. They're like, looking online, like they're $170. Buying them from Nike. Directly from Nike, they're $170. So I had a steal. So I got lucky and got those. So I'm super happy. Yeah. And then I wanted to try on the LeBron 16s. They were 185. I wanted to try those on, but they didn't have it. They didn't have my size. So thankfully, because if I'd have tried those things on and they were, I don't know if I could pull that off though. They're like the knitting, they're really LeBron 16s. I don't know. I do like the color. It's like red and black. It's not too busy. I don't know. Maybe I'll try them on one day just to see. It looks like you'd be walking around, you'd have Afghans on your feet. That's what it looks like. Or like you have duvet covers on your feet. But they look cool, but I don't know. I don't know if I could pull those off. But anyway, I did have a good time in the sneaker store in Foot Locker. It just kind of brought me back to my childhood a little bit, like going in there and you know, you getting that pair of sneakers and you don't want to walk in them. You barely walk around. I think like the first, I had those Air Maxes that are back now, like I think they're the Dan O'Brien's. Remember those guys, Dan and Dave? Nike Air Max. Dan O'Brien. Yeah, the Dan O'Brien's. The gray, like the metallic gray or whatever. Those still look great. I'm speaking of, hey, my 20-year high school reunion was this weekend, and I see all the pictures on Facebook and stuff. And I'm not the only one. Nah, I'm not gonna say. I'm not gonna be a. Yeah, let me just be a nice guy. Whatever. I see all the, and I remember having these shoes. I was so happy, excited. My godmother/cousin. Took us to Tyson's Corner and I bought a pair. I think they might have been $150. I don't know what they sell for now, but they probably sell for the same price. Yeah, $160. Jesus. Yeah, so anyway, I just remember going to the mall. I was super excited to get those sneakers. It's like one you pull out on a special occasion, like you get them and then you, oh, I'm going to wear these and whatever. What else do I want to talk about? I will give you. Did I get all talked about? I bought NBA Live. I'm not NBA Live. NBA 2K19. Ooh, blasphemy! I bought 2K19. It's fun, but that game is becoming. I told you it's becoming more like a role-playing game that you have to use with Street Fighter moves to dribble and do all this stuff. I played the Lakers because I wanted to play as LeBron James, and I played against the Celtics, and they beat me by 8 points. And Kyrie is just insane. Like he just shakes you and just pulls up from anywhere and just drains a three in your face. Fun game, but it's like the dribble moves. I don't know that I'll ever perfect that. I just don't have the time to learn how to do all that stuff. But it's great. It's if you played all the other ones, you're gonna like this. It's new players. It's a couple new, maybe some new animations, and new things that they kind of throw at you, so you can be like, oh, this is new. This Joe. They got the players blink differently and shit. Young, you know, they do a little. Some different nuances every time out. But it's fun. It's fun. When I say every time out, that means like every time that they release the game this part of the year. But it's fun. And I always like to have the 2K just to vibe out and play. And so now I can get in the mode when I'm playing it. I can listen to new music. And on my way up to... Oh, let me... So yeah, 2K is good. You got to use Street Fighter moves just to execute. A lot of point blank missed shots this year. Like getting a rebound and just trying to dump it in has become harder. Just in playing that one game. It's like it's a little too hard to just make point blank range shots. And that's pretty annoying because I was on a run where I was coming back. I don't think I ever had the lead in that game. I did in the beginning. It was like four. I was up by like maybe 4 to 6 points, and then they just came back and kind of cemented their lead. I can never get their lead. I can never get within like maybe 5 or 6 points of them for most of the game, even though like LeBron was coming back and doing this. Anyway, there was a sequence when LeBron was at, they put LeBron at center. He subbed in at center. And I think I just like went with it. And I was like just blowing past, what's my man's name? The Dominican guy. I don't know what it is today. I think, am I getting older or what? I can't think of the, is it me getting old? I'm just not getting the right. Al Horford. Jeez, come on, Chris. Woo. Can I just say that it's early? Maybe I haven't, but it's not. But can I just, I don't know what to say. But yeah, I was blowing past him, and I think there was a sub that I played against and was blowing past him and dunking, and I made a little run. It is still, it's a fun game. If you like 2K, if you like the series, you're going to enjoy it. It doesn't get any better than that. I don't care what people say about NBA Live. It's just, it's not the same. Movies. I saw Night School. What did Night School get? What did the ranking? I thought I already queued this up. And I did. I saw it on Thursday, the Thursday night premiere. I just wanted to see what Rotten Tomatoes gave it. I saw it on Thursday night. Almost thought I wasn't going to make it because I wasn't feeling well. And I laid down. And, let me tell you this. But before I get into Night School. So I get this thing in the mail about registration, renewing my driver's my registration for my vehicle or whatever. And I was like, okay, I'll do it online. And I was like, okay. And I go to do it online and it said, oh, you're not eligible to renew online. You have to go to the MVC and do it in person. I was like, all right, it'll be kind of a, you know, I'll just go after work. It probably won't be too bad renewing during the weekday. If I waited for the weekend, it would probably be a shit show. So I get there and I was like, I just want to renew, and, you know, filled out the little thing, little paperwork, and that's nothing too crazy. Not many people there at all. And then they said, oh, are you surrendering your license plates? And I was like, no. And she said, do you have one of them missing? And I said, no, I'm not aware of anything being missing. And I said, let me just take a pictures of it. Let me just go check. And I took pictures of the front license plate and the rear license plate just to, you know, show her that I wasn't bullshitting. And I went back and she was like, yeah, it's saying that you're, I was like, you know, they're still there. And she said, they were saying that the system's saying that your plates were lost. And I'm like, no. And she's like, well, I can't. And she was being really sweet about it. And keep in mind, there's police officers. There's a police officer. The sheriff is there, too. And so you can't really spaz out at the DMV. But I didn't spaz. I was just like, what? And I was like, no. And she's like, well, I'm going to have to give you new plates, and I'm going to have to charge you $6. And I was like, man, I was like, it was really, overall, it was an inconvenience, but it's like, it was a clerical error that I had to pay for because somebody fucked up and keyed in the wrong thing in the system. They can't go back. Like, they can't fucking go back and just say, oh, this was an error. No. But since they have their fucking system and they have to do things a certain way, I have to go out and buy and get new plates. And that's not fair. But I didn't spaz out. I just unhooked they gave me a screwdriver because I don't think I had a screwdriver in my car. But they gave me a screwdriver that wasn't the right screw thing for mine. So it took longer than it needed to take. Like I was inept at, you know, unscrewing the tags and the whatnot, the plates. So I did that and gave them back to him. And I got new plates. And so that was they charged that on top of, like, you pay like $46 to renew. But that was kind of a chore. And then I just wasn't feeling, I just felt weird, like I was tired or just like starting to get sick. And so I just went home and laid down for a little bit. And I was like, you know what? I'm starting to feel better. Let me go see this movie. Because I wanted to cancel my tickets for this AMC sub thing. But I think after a certain time, maybe an hour before the movie or so, you can't cancel your purchase. So I did that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. And I went and so let's get into it. Night School. Here we go. Google blurb. Teddy Walker is a successful salesman whose life takes an unexpected turn when he accidentally blows up his place of employment. Forced to attend night school to get his GED, Teddy soon finds himself dealing with a group of misfit students, his former high school nemesis, and a feisty teacher who doesn't think he's too bright. I liked it. I was worried that they would give away too many of the jokes in the trailers, but overall it was funny. There were two moments, one major moment that I just was crying, laughing, and it was just so funny. It's just like an enjoyable, solid movie. Tiffany Haddish was good. I think Tiffany Haddish, I want to see her play a dramatic role. I think if she plays a dramatic role, she will get nominated. Not like where it has to be all like, you did this to me and my mama, but just something that's just like, she can play straight. She was actually the straight man in this one. There's a swerve at the end that I didn't think was necessary, that the next time, if I have someone on here on the show and this movie comes up, I want to talk to them about it, because I was just like, this was kind of unnecessary and you didn't need to do this just to... Yeah, I'm not gonna. I don't wanna spoil anything really too much. It's not that much to spoil, but it was interesting. There was another swerve that was like, oh, this is interesting. I appreciate the fact that they're doing this, and it's not just everything isn't. I want to say that everything is. It's like tied up in a bow, if you will, but. I really dug it. I enjoyed it. I know some people didn't like it. I want to see what is it number one? I think it's number one. Let me check. 30% on Rotten Tomatoes, but I mean, you know, whatever. I don't care about what they say. I like to see, but I don't base my opinion. Yeah. Weekend estimates on Box Office Mojo, 28 million. It's 5 million over Smallfoot. And then House with a Clock in Its Walls is number three. But yeah, man, number one movie in the country right now. So it's enjoyable. Tiffany Haddish is good. Kevin Hart's good. He's funny, making his faces and being silly. Couple like lines that are really funny. I also like the fact that because Kevin Hart was one of the producers on this, and Malcolm Lee, another Malcolm Lee joint, another solid Malcolm Lee flick. I like the fact that they used a lot of comics on this one. Al Madrigal was in it, obviously Tiffany Haddish, Rob Riggle, Marilyn Reichsgub is in it. She's a comic. Ben Schwartz doesn't do stand-up. Romney Malco. Yvonne Orji is a comic. So I fucked with it, man. I really enjoyed it. It was just a fun, chill movie. Couple of big laughs. I recommend it. It's something to see. Like, you don't have to... Do you have to pay full price for this? Can you go see a matinee? I'm a matinee guy anyway. But I would say it's worth seeing. It's a funny joint. We're getting into October, so now you're gonna start to see the push for some of these Oscar movies. Obviously, Venom's not one, but that's next week. And I'm trying to think. Let's see what comes out next week. What comes out this week, actually? A Star Is Born. So there you go. That's the movie it's probably going to win a lot of Oscars, and they've been pushing this movie really hard for a long time. And I think my interest is definitely peaked. I'm seeing it in Dolby on Thursday. I'm excited because I know it's going to be, because I was a Nashville fan, so I'm primed for this. It's not like the country music scene is going to be like super weird. Oh, it's country music. That's not going to be a problem for me. I know I'm seeing A Star Is Born. Already got the tickets for that. Venom, I just want to see, just to see what's up with it. First Man is October 12th. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there you go. Night School, go see it. Black actors. Music, and we'll... TV. Forever with on Amazon Prime with Maya Rudolph and Fred Armisen. I liked it. It is... I really don't want it. It's about a married couple and played by Maya Rudolph and Fred Armisen from the creator... of Master of None, Alan Yang, one of the creators. And I liked it. I'm not going to say much else about the shit because I went in blind. I just went in knowing like, oh, Maya Rudolph is in it. She's one of the most talented actors working. I'm just going to see what's good with it. One episode in particular really great, compelling TV. Do I want to put episode 6, Young? Episode 6, one of some of the best TV I've seen this year. Really good acting, really compelling. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about it. I recommend that. Music. On my way to the show that I had a mediocre set in my Kobe Bryant's, my brand new Kobe sneakers, I listened to Mac Miller's album, Swimming. I tweeted this, folks. It's a hell of a swan song. That's his last project. It's sad that this guy is no longer with us. From all accounts, a lot of people said he was a really nice guy and super talented. Damian Lemon, shout out to that man again. I really liked his, I wouldn't call it a eulogy. It was a eulogy of sorts, but he gave his thoughts on Mac Miller a couple weeks ago and how some of his music related to him at a particular time in his life. I would say if you go back, like, I'll actually tell you the episode of In the Conversation to go to, since I got this shit pulled up. Why not, man? Why not, Young? Let me see. It's from a couple weeks ago. It is, I believe it is, I don't want to tell you the wrong one. If you're listening to this show, you should be listening to In the Conversation, Three Guys On, Hot Firestarter, Black Guy Who Tips, Where's My Fort. You should be listening to these shows, but I believe it is, I can tell you, hold on a second, okay, and we're black. It was the episode, A Shadow in Your Own House, where the guy, Damian and Ali, talk about Mac Miller and how, you know, it was really good. It was thoughtful, and it was just a thoughtful it's very thoughtful what he said about Mac Miller. And I didn't mention it. I either maybe just forgot, and it took me that unexpectedly, and I think it did for a lot of people. His death hit me harder than I thought that it would. Not that, because he's somebody that when he came out, one of my friends, this might have been like 08, 09, one of my good friends, said, oh, there's this kid, Mac Miller from Pittsburgh, who's good. He's got this mixtape called Kids. And my friend is a real pro-black kind of dude. And one of the coolest guys that I know, and one of my closest friend. And he's just telling me about this white kid who's like 16 or 18 or however old this kid. He's like, this kid, Mac Miller, he's good, man. And I was like, really? The white kid? Okay. All right. I'll check for him. And I just, ever since then, I was just like, oh yeah, he is good. He is as advertised. And he's just always been somebody that's just kind of been around where it's like, yeah, this guy is good. And now that he's gone, I just kind of feel bad that, like, I didn't pay as much attention as I used to. But he's definitely an artist. He was definitely an artist that evolved, like, that had an evolution. And it just, this album is almost Swimming. I said that it's reminiscent. It's quite possibly the equivalent of Heath Ledger's performance in The Dark Knight, where you lose somebody at a young age, and the last thing that they did, that they completed, is a masterpiece. I need to listen to, like, viscerally, that Swimming. What I got from Swimming was just like, just this gut reaction of, God, this is good. And it took me a couple weeks to go back and listen to his stuff, because some of his stuff, he had a record with Action Bronson called Red Dot Music. I don't know if that was on his album or it was on his album. And this was a record that was on my playlist, Watching Movies with the Sound Off, from 2013. He's just a talented dude, and I was just kind of like, I was like, damn. And I talked to my good friend about him, his death. And this was about a week or two ago, and we were just talking, and he told me to check out this video, a YouTube clip of him, a mini documentary of him talking. It was really ominous, talking about doing drugs and all this stuff. It's just kind of like, fuck, man. Jeez. And there's parts of the sections of the album where he's talking about loneliness, and it's sad, because I knew I would kind of get sad listening to it, because like, you, somebody so young and talented, you know. And I said the same thing that I said about Aretha Franklin, where you have this iconic person that passes away, who she lived, fulfilled her purpose. Like, she touched so many lives, and she was so talented and just amazing artist. And she died how Aretha Franklin was old. But a guy like Mac Miller, who was just, he was just coming into his own at, what, 26? How old was he when he died? 26, 27? And the stuff that he was doing with his tiny desk, I was like, oh, this is fucking cool. This is one of the best Tiny Desk concerts of the year. Like, it's fucking cool. I like what he's doing. It's just like, he had a band, he had Thundercat with him, and he's singing. And shout out, that just really goes to show you, like, well, I'm not even gonna go there, because I'm not going to do that. But it was just, it's just really fucking good. Like, it's not comparing him to Aretha Franklin, because Aretha Franklin lived a full life. This guy didn't get there. He had the potential to be a really great artist, and for what he was on track to just being, like, an extremely great artist, like, not just a rapper, but somebody that was just, who could have been next level. And he was definitely on his way, man. And it's really sad that he's gone. And comedian John Moses was like, I tweeted that, and because I'm not a tastemaker or somebody famous, like, my tweet got 6 likes. I don't care about all. It's nice when people are fucking listening to you and you get likes and retweets and shit. But and that's a that's kind of a bold statement, but I think if I was more famous, more people would have said some shit to me. But the homie John Moses, he said, get the fuck out of here. It was cool, but come on. And then I just wrote back to him. I was like, do you listen to rap music? And he said, fucking Linkin Park forever. But I said what I said, man. I think that's a really, really good album. And if you gotta go out, like, you, what a better way to live forever than putting out some shit like that, man. Putting out a project like that. And it makes his death, it's even more bittersweet, because you put out a project like that and then you're gone, but at the same time you still live on. I don't know. It's one of those things, man. It's one of those things that make you think. Like, I did an indie movie corner that, by the time this goes up, it'll be up on Patreon, talking about musicians and stuff like that. Talking about the movie Blaze and the artist Blaze Foley, where you just never really the ceiling, like with an album like Swimming, obviously the ceiling was pretty fucking high for Mac Miller to really have an impressive output as an artist. And then really he, looking at his catalog, he had a lot of music. And it's just, it's sad, man. I just fucking hate to see like these young people going and it makes me want to, I got to go back and listen to more of his shit. Yeah. But that's it, folks. I think on I highly recommend this. I think it's terrific. It's a terrific album. And go see Night School, Black Actors. And I think that's it. I think that's it for the week. Watch some football or boycott, or, you know, Eric, shout out to Eric Reed, who got signed by the Panthers. The irony in getting signed by the Black Panthers. Maybe Colin Kaepernick will be next. All right. Or maybe they'll sign an Arena League quarterback. That's not good. Somebody who needs one. That's probably what they'll do. But I think that's it for the week, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be at Stand Up New York on Tuesday, October 2nd. All right. Take it easy, everybody.